All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a great guest. We've got Dr. Jack Pruitt, and he's a physician who lives in Northeast Texas. He runs a small medical clinic in a rural area near Houston. He's spent many, many years studying the Bible, the works of Zachariah Sitchin, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the various scriptures of a religious or spiritual nature. The conclusions that he reached that are described in The Grandest Deception are his own. They do not represent the organizations or opinions of Zachariah Sitchin or anyone else. Dr. Pruitt believes in ancient astronauts came to Earth in our distant past, and they created mankind, and that they and their descendants run the world today. Like he says, he has bet his eternal soul that the conclusions he has reached are correct. So without any further ado, I want to bring Dr. Pruitt on the line. Are you with us?
I am, yes. Hello.
Thank you. Should I call you Dr. Pruitt or Jack, or what do you feel comfortable with?
Jack is fine.
Great, great. Makes things simple. The you know, first of all, you know, I've come to similar conclusions myself, you know, after 30 years of research into this. And you know, how did you first get started into, you know, questioning, you know, a lot of the ancient scriptures or artifacts, and then just basically the status quo, standard story. What was your first kind of prompting to start going in that direction?
Well, actually, for me, I guess it started when I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s. I'd simply been taught as a child that the Bible was a book that had been inspired by God to be written, and that it was also an instruction book about how I should live my life. And I had been baptized when I was 10 years old, and I just believed that all my life and never entered my mind to question that in any way. But then when I began to experience some of the difficulties of life, I decided I wasn't doing things correctly, and I better read the instruction book. And that began really then a lifelong study, not only of the Bible, but of other scriptural type materials, because they were very puzzling to me. I couldn't understand certain things, and there were large parts of the Bible that just didn't make sense to me. And so I ended up probably attending churches from practically every denomination and asking preachers, priests, rabbis, theologians of various types, anybody who would listen to me, asking them questions about what certain things meant. And I guess I came to the conclusion that none of them knew what the Bible meant either. Or at least they certainly didn't agree about what it meant. And so that was very puzzling to me. And I, since I had been taught that the Bible was an instruction book about how to live my life, I thought it was very, very strange that God give his children an instruction book that they couldn't understand or that they all disagreed about. And I began to realize that that caused great discord and animosity among mankind, and that we had millions and millions of people had been killed and wars fought because we disagreed about what that book said. And that none of that just made any sense. And then actually, it was strictly by accident. Somewhere between 6 and 7 years ago, I was driving home in the wee hours of the morning, and I'm an MD, and so I'd spent my entire life studying medicine and practicing medicine. I was not into UFOs or aliens or that sort of thing, and really had very little belief in any of that, but I was driving home and happened to turn the radio on, and It was George Norrie on Coast to Coast interviewing Zachariah Sitchin. And he talked about some things that were totally foreign to me, but he seemed very sincere, and he intrigued me. So the next morning, I went out and bought The 12th Planet, read that book, and that also intrigued me, and went and bought all the rest of his books, and have spent the last 6-7 years studying Sitchin pretty intensely. And then I was still puzzled about things that about our world that just seemed strange to me. I was medical partners with Dr. Ron Paul, the congressman from Texas, who's now been in Congress about 20 years. He and I were medical partners for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And he's now running for president for the third time. And so through my lifelong association with him, I learned some things about the inner workings of our government and our monetary system and that sort of thing. And things like the Roswell incident, for instance, just seemed very strange to me, the way that was handled, and things like that. And so actually, I decided that, well, I'd like to know the answers to some of these things. That why is our government doing certain things? Why is the Bible so harmful in certain ways to mankind? And those kinds of things. And I decided I was just going to see if I could find the answer to some of those questions and write a book about it, because I thought, certainly there must be some other people out there who have some of the same questions that I do. And when I began to write the book, I actually had no idea that I would end up with the conclusions that I ended up with. But it was a very interesting process for me personally, in that it almost seemed that at times I had to have been receiving, I felt, some help from somewhere. Oh. And I've put a what I call a dream or a vision or some kind of intuition. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but at the end of the book, in a part that I call a confession, I wrote of an incident that occurred to me back before I'd ever even heard of Sitchin. Mm-hmm. And that was the little story about the letters IUADAMO, IUADAMO. And since publishing the book, I've had several people who consider themselves or are considered to be psychics or intuitives or people who are enlightened to a greater degree than the average talk to me about that, and they all seem to think that that has something to do with some kind of a connection or bond between me and the Anunnaki and Adam. And I've had that sense that there was some connection between myself and Adam ever since having the vision or dream or whatever it was. And then some very interesting things have happened in the last month that are somewhat puzzling and confusing to me about that. But that's kind of how what led me to make my little attempt to basically, you just kind of think out loud and write a book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to commend your courage for asking those questions. Most people are afraid to ask those questions because they're afraid to be judged by their peers, or they're afraid of getting, you know, toasted by the wrathful God, or you know, they have all these programs, you know, that they're afraid of stepping outside the box. And but when you do, you know, ask the tough questions and you use your God-given mind to start figuring this stuff out, it doesn't make sense on one level, but once you get all the all the pieces together, the puzzle, you can look back on it and say, okay, now I understand it.
Well, and that seems to be slowly happening to me. And I agree with you. When I first decided to go ahead and write the book, actually, I wrote for a couple of months and I just put it down. I said, you know, you've lost your mind. These things cannot be true. And you've overlooked something. And so I didn't do anything else for somewhere between 6 months and a year. And I went back and reviewed all the evidence, reread many, many things. And I finally just came to the conclusion that the evidence was just too much to deny, and decided that I would write the book. I did feel that in the little area where I live, which I consider part of the Bible Belt in Southeast Texas, that I'd probably be tarred and feathered and run out of town. But I've been pleasantly surprised and shocked that worldwide, the response that I've gotten from the book has been, one, far greater than anything I ever expected, but two, probably 98% has been positive and supportive. And so that's encouraging to me. That leads me to believe that an awakening is occurring around the world, and that people seem to be more open-minded in regards to exploring the truth. Unfortunately, I think there are very few who really understand very much about what's really going on, but I do think there's an open-mindedness now to at least listen to ideas that are different from what they've been taught all their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of ego-shattering, or when you get into all this stuff and you've been programmed all your life to believe things are a certain way, and then all of a sudden you have to, you know, let go of that old program. It's, some people are so tied to that old program, they just, you know, they go through a meltdown, like a psychological meltdown.
It's an extremely bitter pill to swallow. you know, I'm in a few months will be 70 years old, and for me to realize that 68 of my 70 years have been just living in a world that's not real, and that my whole 68 years have been basically a lie. That's not easy to deal with.
No, that is a tough one, tough pill to swallow. The now, some of the, what I, my understanding basically, and it seems like you've come to the same conclusion, is that I do believe in God. You know, I do believe that there is some unseen creator within all creation, you might say, or some force behind all this. But I know Michal Ledwith, what he did was he used in his research, basically what he found out, that Genesis was actually incorrect. And when he went to the basics, you know, of Hebrew language and everything else, his interpretation was, you know, in the beginning, you know, the creator or the father of all fathers created the gods who created the heavens and the earth. And if that's correct, this all ties in together, that there were beings out there, what we refer to as, you know, the bearded God, which where we got that image from, that had incredible abilities. I mean, they had incredible technology and wisdom, and seemed to travel around the universe and tinker with life.
That's correct, I think. Those are the conclusions that I came to exactly. And there's still obviously a great deal that we don't understand, but I agree that, you know, when I look up into the skies or just look out my window and see this magnificent creation that we live in, then I do believe very firmly that there has to be a supreme entity or intelligence or source, whatever you create, or and even the Anunnaki state in the old tablets that they believe some supreme entity created them.
Mm-hmm.
Although in the in Sitchin's works, of course, and yeah. and in yeah. the Bible, they do refer to themselves as gods. But
that's been my question all along. I've always questioned, about the nature of God. If God, they have an image of God, and it's always a man with a beard. And I wonder, if he had a mother and where he came from, and. All those questions come up and you start saying, well, wait a second, whenever you have an image or a body or an embodiment or whatever, you have, a god with a little g or a demigod, and we have to ask what came before that, or where did that being come from?
Right.
Also, too, I know in the Bible, it seems like when you look at the Bible, the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament seemed to be a genocidal maniac. I mean, he was very, jealous and wrathful and very fearful. We were supposed to all fear him and not even say his name, or you got stoned, basically, in the ancient times. But and then Jesus brought the new covenant, which was this all-forgiving, all-loving God. But it seems to me that, a lot of Christianity are living in the past, and still holding on to that old image, and B, there seemed to be two different beings that were toying around with humanity at the time. One, jealous, wrathful, kind of genocidal maniac that had no problem with destroying villages and women and children and even their animals and destroying their crops, putting salt in the fields and everything else. And then the new God that Jesus represented was this just all-loving, all-forgiving entity.
Well, my feeling about those things is that I believe that Sitchin absolutely proved that the stories that we find in the Old Testament came from earlier writings, and I'm 100% convinced that the Old Testament is strictly a story about these beings that Sitchin calls Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
I think that becomes quite clear that the Bible is a story about the Anunnaki and not a story about some supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in my book, that's what I call the grandest deception. As far as the New Testament, though, certainly there are great truths, and there's much wisdom, and the teachings of Jesus are things that are loving and kind and good. But by the same token, I'm also convinced that the entire religion of Christianity was devised and established for very illicit purposes, and so you can't create a religion to deceive human beings or mankind. And make that religion evil. So I think Jesus was simply a necessity. And although those teachings are good, my opinion is that the Anunnaki have very evil plans for mankind, and they've used Christianity to further their agenda in regards to putting that plan into place. And as I've stated in my book, I believe that their plan is to create a new world order, and that the person that we call Jesus is going to be placed in charge of that, and the ruler or the head of the new world order. And he's going to return and wreak havoc upon mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
I look at Jesus actually as I have a great deal of sympathy or empathy for Jesus, actually. I think he's a very tragic figure in this whole sordid ordeal. I think he's been brainwashed and deceived by the Anunnaki. I believe he is a descendant of Enlil, and that Mary was simply artificially inseminated with the sperm of Enlil, and the offspring of that was Jesus. But Enlil has brainwashed him since his birth, and has plans for him to do evil things to us.
Yeah, now I heard a story very similar to that, but in the end, what they were saying that he broke away. He broke away from that program and is kind of switching camps. But I mean, that's just another story. There's so many stories out there.
Well, and of course, I'm just relating to you what the story of the Bible said that I believe the Bible says.
Yeah.
Now, is all that going to come to pass? I'm optimistic that perhaps it will not. I believe that if enough people do wake up and recognize the truth, that with perhaps some help of other benevolent beings, which I think exist out there somewhere, that we might can alter the plans that are described in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Now, there seems to be this, it's obvious now that people with all these conspiracy books out and everything else, and they're very well documented, that, you know, there's undeniably a ruling elite, you know, that's running the world, basically. You know,
yes.
And 13 families with just, you know, basically three men above that are running everything. And above these men, there's probably these other forces. And I've always felt it's a mixed bag up there. You know, there's some, you know, of the most ancient, you know, that want the New World Order and want total domination and control of everything, natural resources, human resources, everything. And then there does seem to be another force coming in that is more benevolent, more positive, and trying to redirect humanity to get out of that, you know, indentured servant, you know, enslavement or enslaved through dependency program that's been going on for so long. And
yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, I would agree with that. The only thing that is, I guess, of great concern to me at the moment is I don't think there's any question about which group is in charge running our world today at this moment.
Oh, exactly. It's so funny. I mean, not to be contrary to the government, but basically they've earned it. And, you look at what happens, you know, that form of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And every year we get somebody up there that makes all these promises, they get into office and they break every one systematically and continue with this other plan that seems to be playing out. And you know, I just see our president now is, I hate to say it, but before we had a real idiot in the White House that was a terrible liar, and now we have a really good one, a really charismatic one, you know, that...
I can't argue with either of your conclusions.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have, you know, I mean, face it, you know, the economy's in the toilet, you know, he bailed all the banksters out, you know, gave them all the money, and all these other, you know, even out of the country banksters, you know, money went to McDonald's, everything is crazy.
The whole political system is corrupt, dishonest, and evil from the top down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, we still have the torture camps over there, Guantanamo, that hasn't been closed down. You know, the Patriot Act is now on steroids, you know, basically. It's gotten 10 times worse. I mean, every single promise, you know, about transparency and everything else has been broken. And now we're in six wars, three we're being told about, you know, and we were supposed to be ending these wars. So So, you know, not to get political, but people need to wake up and look at what somebody does and not what they say from now on.
That's correct. And you know, that those type questions were part of the things that I was trying to find answers to initially when I first decided to write a book. And interestingly enough, if you look at all of this complexity of different things that are occurring in our world and decisions that are being made by our government and that sort of thing, and if you look at that from the perspective that there is some type of evil, powerful, alien group of beings controlling things and working for a specific agenda, then all of a sudden everything that is occurring in our world and all of these crazy nonsensical decisions make perfectly good sense.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. That's the only way you can make sense out of them.
Yeah, they fit that agenda perfectly.
Yeah, if you know, my program is just whatever they tell you, reverse it and multiply it, and you'll have the truth.
You know, when you certainly have to drastically alter it.
yeah, because whatever you're being told is probably the opposite of what's going to be going down, and then multiply that, you know, times 10.
And unfortunately, you know, the same thing happens with everything in our media. The major media is so dishonest and skewed, and you know, I don't really think that, speaking of the American people, for instance, how in the world can we blame the people in this nation for doing the crazy things that we do and making such poor decisions like electing our last two presidents and many others? But when you're fed dishonest information, you can't make good decisions. Uh-huh. And so it's no wonder that we're making such poor decisions about our world and our lives, because we're not being given or taught the truth.
It is true. The only way, it seems like one way you can get somewhat truth is by looking at some of the foreign news, you know, that is telling more of the truth. But even a lot of that is skewed, you know, because the powers that be, I call them the powers at work, because they're about ready to fold in on themselves, you know, energetically. But they do have, you know, control of the world media, and it does seem some countries are breaking away right now and starting to kick out the banksters and saying, wait a second, we're not going to be enslaved through currency or through dependency anymore. We're going to, you know, create our own systems, and which is a really good thing. But you know, it's and one other thing too is it seems like in the ancient past, even the Anunnaki, there was one that loved us and loved the creation, and then one wanted to do us in. So there was a split there as well.
Well, you know, I guess you could state it that way. Enki, you know, was the great scientist and was the one who was primarily responsible for creating mankind. So I think it would be natural for anyone to have some kind of compassion or sympathy for their creation. Mm-hmm. He was also the one who was responsible for saving mankind from the flood. Mm-hmm. And so I think there is certainly perhaps some compassion. Does he love us? I'm not convinced about that. You know, he's still an Anunnaki, and those bloodlines, like they say, blood's thicker than water. And so certainly he has shown some compassion for mankind, and I hope continues to do so. But by the same token, they do have a plan and a project and goals, I think, that are not beneficial for mankind.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does seem, now this is a stretch, and I was thinking about that. If you had Enki, you know, that was involved with the creation, you know, with me, I mean, I love my dog. I want to make sure nothing happens to my dog, but if it came between my life and my dog and I had to make a decision, you know, that would be a tough one. But, you know, in the same...
If it came between other family members of yours and your dog.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so it may be some situation like that. And then I guess Enlil was more of the warlord, you know, in charge of the armies and whatever, the battleships and whatever else they had. So it does seem to be that same dichotomy or that same paradox played out in the Bible, you know, where you have one God that just is a jealous, wrathful, you do what I say or you're toast, and then one that seems to be a little more compassionate or understanding or a little more service oriented that was would like to see its creation go forward.
Yeah, well, if you look back, it even goes back all the way before they even came to to Earth. If you look at Sitchin's work, mm-hmm. he describes the fact that these two boys have different mothers.
Yeah,
and the maternal sides of that family had been in a family feud even back on Nibiru about which son would inherit the throne of Nibiru. And that family feud has not ceased just because they came to Earth and got involved in an Earth project together. Mm-hmm. And that's basically a large part of the Bible is simply the continuation of the family feud and which side is going to win that feud. Mm-hmm. And the Bible, though, I think we also should understand that whole thing is written from the viewpoint of Enlil. And uh-huh. and so, you know, I'm sure that Enki and his supporters don't necessarily agree with everything that Enlil has written in the Bible about what the outcome of this family feud is going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hopeful that the Enki, or who I call the Enkiites, might be benevolent and supportive towards mankind and our efforts.
Yeah, maybe they can talk to Mama, you know? Have Mama throw some rules down on them. who knows? It's really interesting when you look at how this whole drama going on here, you know, and we, you know, it seems like we also have the DNA of the gods, you know, there, but it's not fully activated. But, you know, what we're finding out now is that with this sun cycle going on and the other things happening, the DNA is starting to activate. So, you know, who knows, maybe one day we'll be standing toe-to-toe with these gods and saying, hey, you know, you guys behave yourself.
Well, you know, that the DNA story and the genetic engineering part of this is also quite fascinating. But according to probably the best evidence that we have is that indeed we did probably inherit about 80% of our DNA from the Anunnaki and about 20% from Neanderthal man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the story I've heard too, is that, you know, there was a knuckle dragger here that was, you know, part of the human experience evolving naturally, and they jumped it up, you know, genetically to, you know, to mine the gold they needed to keep their environment together, and then it just went on from there. Now I have another theory too. I want to run this by you, which is a possibility. Michael Cremo's work is showing that humanity has been around for almost 600 million years, according to the archaeological findings that he's uncovered, and some very advanced beings have been here. So, you know, possibly we could have been a mixture of all different types of beings that have come and gone, and some continued and some were wiped out, and we just might just be this huge genetic soup down here of you know, ancient star nations, you might say, as well as the knuckle dragger that was tinkered with. So there's such a different degree of genetic evolution here and consciousness is might be why we're having all these problems and getting along.
Well, I do think that there's good evidence today that certainly there have been civilizations present on Earth before the Anunnaki arrived, and they arrived probably 450,000 years ago. And so, you know, when my concept kind of is that whenever the creator created all of this, if I go back and look at what our science says about the Big Bang Theory, for instance, science tells us that there definitely was a beginning to this universe, and they don't all agree exactly when it did begin, but somewhere between 13.5 and 17.5 billion years ago, that all matter, all energy, all of everything was condensed into an infinitely dense, infinitely hot, something that science calls a singularity. And they don't know exactly what a singularity is, but I think, at least my concept, I have to have something that my simple little mind can wrap around and try to understand. And so I can even think of that singularity, whatever that was, as being the supreme being, the supreme entity, or the source. And I don't like to think of it as a big bang, but I think of it more in terms that singularity just began to expand and create the universe. And therefore, everything in the universe is a part of God, or that supreme intelligence. You, I, and everybody else is just a part of that singularity, and that so our spirits are who we really are. I believe that we are really eternal spiritual beings, and if so, all of us have been around for 15 billion years or so. And so the fact that some showed up on Earth, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 6 million years ago, that doesn't seem far-fetched to me at all. I guess the only thing about the singularity that, to my mind, is that if you look at the creation, everything in our creation, at least on Earth, has a male and female component or intelligence. There's female intelligence and male intelligence, and our human brains are even different. Female brains are quite different from male brains, and a way for me to think of that is that if male intelligence and female intelligence or consciousness can get totally 100% in sync and in harmony and in resonance with each other, then that becomes a singularity, and indeed that is love, and that is God.
Yeah, that does, it, you know, that goes in alignment with the ancient teachings, you know, where we have to bring both sides of ourselves together, you know, into one, or you can do it with a mate, you know, some people call them soul mates, twin flames, or things like that. I believe you can do it within yourself by connecting with the source itself within you and create that own singularity.
Yes, right. I agree. Certainly, nobody needs to be viciously murdered or crucified in order for us to be eternal.
Yeah, definitely. I always felt that that's a major guilt trip, you know, that you know, a lot of the religions push. They push that fear, guilt, and unworthiness, and the separation game, which is really what I call anti-Christ consciousness. It's anti-becoming one with that all-loving, you know, all-forgiving whatever you want to call it, consciousness, it's just that pure love and joy and bliss energy that's within everyone. And
that's true, but also from a practical standpoint, I think that it's important to realize that if they are going to create a religion like Christianity and a personality like Jesus, that simply doesn't work unless you can first convince mankind that they have a sinful nature or that they're wicked and sinful. So they have to convince us of that first, or else Christianity and the Jesus thing wouldn't have worked at all.
You know, that's one thing I've always thought was a little crazy, that, you know, a whole civilization or whatever or would base their program on, you know, eternal sin because a man took a bite out of an apple. That just never worked for me.
pretty absurd.
Yeah, and but people are still believing that. You know, they're still believing that they were born, you know, a sinner, that they were born, I guess the only way out of that is through being crucified somehow, or by turning all their personal responsibility over to somebody else, you know, some external force.
By training, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist, and I've delivered over 5,000 babies, and I've never seen a single speck or trace of anything that looks sinful in any one of them. If there is miracles on this earth, I believe that's it, and they're certainly not born sinful or wicked or evil. Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's all the programming that comes after, you know, that shifts them from that innocence.
Yeah, but isn't it amazing how naive and gullible we have been for 3,500 years at least?
You know, it is. You know, I was told once that there's never been a sword or a weapon that could keep man enslaved for very long other than his own consciousness. And so they realize that if they could tell the right stories, and if you buy those stories, you know, you'll enslave yourself. And that was the only way they could keep people enslaved now is by creating an external God, a God separate from humanity and nature, and put him somewhere else out in the ethers and become the go-between. And then that way they can control the masses versus telling everybody what, you know, that basically that God is within you. It's omnipresent. It's within everyone and everything. And it's time to behave accordingly.
Yeah. And they are extremely intelligent. You know, they have all kind of ways to manipulate us and control our minds, from not only the uses of government and religion and the secret societies, but all of the, what some might call, occult or pagan symbols that are all over our earth today, and many other ways. But they are ingenious. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you look at, you know, the fluoride in the water and the aspartame and, you know, all the additives, the food additives and everything else that have proven, you know, to shut the mind down. And you know, now with the chemtrails full of aluminum, which is definitely creates Alzheimer's and all the heavy metal poisoning that's going on, it's a very clear that on every level they're trying to dumb down and control the masses. And you know, I think it's time for us to wake up, if it's not through some religious program.
That's certainly one of the things that I've been extremely disappointed with in regards to the medical profession for many years before I was even aware of some of these things myself. But the medical profession has certainly been just as naive and gullible and manipulated as the rest of mankind has, because we have allowed them to control the pharmaceutical companies, create all kinds of harmful medications for mankind, as well as the things that you mentioned about putting things in our food, water, and atmosphere, and that sort of thing that's tremendously harmful to us. But that's all part of their genetic engineering experiment, I think, to dumb us down, and I think that they're goal eventually is to turn us into what I call in my book biological robots.
Uh-huh. I used to call them neutered zombies. You know, they
I can agree with that. Pretty close to the same idea, I think.
Yeah, it seems to be where they're trying to take us, especially with all the chemicals they're adding. You know, it seems like a full scale attack on creation. You know, even within our own bodies, it's just.
You know, Enlil made a statement prior to the flood. That once we were given the ability to procreate, that we simply became too noisy and boisterous and were not worth putting up with. And so he made the Anunnaki actually all take a vow to not tell us anything about the flood and use that as a means to get rid of all of us. Mm-hmm. And I think today, that same mindset, at least in regards to the evil side of the Anunnaki and the Enlilites, is that they want slaves. They still want to have slaves in the New World Order.
Oh, yeah.
But they want us to be dumbed down and so that we won't be noisy and boisterous or rebellious.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're definitely seeing that. I mean, I've been playing out that drama here, just bringing out this information that, you know, it's very clear the way the system is set up right now. The system is really set up to protect itself, and it's not really here for humanity or for the highest and best good of humanity and the earth. It's really a self-serving program designed to serve itself and nothing else.
Absolutely.
And I think when people start waking up to that and seeing how it was created and the truth behind, you know, all these agencies that, you know, they're going to say, well, wait a second, you know, I don't think I want to play this game anymore or support this program.
Yeah, and you know, I'm hopeful that as a society or as a race of beings that we may be able to do something to alter that, but... whether it's too late to do that or not, I am extremely optimistic that on an individual spiritual basis, then it's extremely important for each individual in this world to do what they can to not be dumbed down and altered and their spirit crushed. I don't know if it's possible to kill one's spirit or not, but... I do think that they're doing the best they can to do so.
They sure are. Yeah, it's you know, what I've seen is that, and this is my interpretation of the future, basically, is I think one thing that they did not count on was maybe a soul activation from a higher source than them, and people waking up all of a sudden and saying, wait a second, you know, it's snapping out of the dream and seeing how much they have been controlled. And maybe even a lot of those controlling forces actually just crashing, you know, all the electromagnetic pollution and control programs there just, you know, coming down with a massive solar flare or something like that. And then all of a sudden everybody will just like a big breath of fresh air go, whoa, I feel really good all of a sudden, you know, snap out of this, this spell, you know, this dark spell we seem to have been under.
You know, I can't even envision or imagine in my little dumbed down brain what kind of force and what kind of power could be generated by, say, just 100 individuals waking up and using their spiritual capabilities and abilities together in unison. That would be just, probably wouldn't take 100, might take 2, but that would just be awesome.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think of enough people, you know, that is happening with this Fire the Grid program and some of these other ones where people are in huge masses shifting consciousness and deciding they want to redirect, you know, where Earth is going and humanity. And I think, you know, this stuff is just growing like wildfire. So So I really do see there is a greater force seems to be underneath all this, and I think it's far beyond anything that man can stop or even these other beings can stop as well. Although they are playing out all their drama cards and false flag operations to keep us in fear and terror.
That is certainly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. I'm optimistic that however things turn out, that certainly in the long run, good will win out over evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just through physics, you really think about that, even with sympathetic resonance, when you have a higher frequency come in, the lower frequencies have to rise up to match
right.
it. And if enough people raise their frequency and step out of this dream, it's going to, the unified field in which everybody exists is just going to start lighting up. And once that gets ignited, it's game over.
Yeah, that's I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Now, what's the best way for people to, get a hold of your book and your information?
I have a website. Can go to just www.thegrandestdeception.com. The book can be ordered there. At the end of the book, I've put my email address, and that is Dr. Jack, DRJACK, at cmaaccess.com. They're welcome to contact me that way. I have on my website there are radio interviews, and actually I'm going to be doing a webinar August 31st. But all of those details and information can be found on the website.
Mm-hmm. Great. And any way to contact you as far as having you speak or any other engagements would also be there on the website?
It will. Or email either way. And
yeah, just out of curiosity, I'm wondering if you're getting any hate mail from certain religious factions.
I, like I said earlier, I've been shocked and pleasantly surprised that about 98% of the responses I've gotten worldwide have been positive and supportive. I have gotten a little bit, and actually, it's been interesting to me. Even the little bit of negative hate response, as you might call it, there have been two or three of those that after 2, 3, 4 weeks of us communicating and talking back and forth, I'm not saying that they've changed their mind, but there does seem to be a calming and a more open-mindedness occurring between they and myself for a few of them.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that too.
That's encouraging.
Oh yeah, we get a few of those now and then here, and I always tell them, the stuff we're talking about isn't prophecy anymore, and it's not woo-woo. It's science, and it's fact, and it's statistical. And so, if they want to live in the dark ages, that's fine, and that's really okay. They have my blessings, but if they do want to expand their knowledge and expand their knowledge about history and that there is a much greater God beyond even this drama, then I welcome to them to come and share in that experience. And most of them, they do. After a while, they drop the sword, and they realize.
I've kind of taken the approach, and what I've tried to do is to explain to those few that I'm certainly not trying to change their mind about their beliefs or their religious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
that what I'm trying to do is just simply stimulate their curiosity and hope that they will go and search and seek and try to find the truth for themselves, because most of them will readily admit that they haven't done that what they believe is what's been taught to them by their parents, grandparents, society, whatever, all of their life. Mm-hmm. And we just, I was exactly the same way. I just believed what people told me to believe when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Michael Tellinger's work? He seems to have found the landing place of the Anunnaki and over in Africa, and it's you know, he's got Adam's calendar and all these other sites that it's pretty amazing, because you can see these very, very ancient sites which correspond with Zachariah Sitchin's work.
Yeah, I am familiar with Michael Tellinger and his work, and of course those sites are readily visible all over the world. You know, Sitchin presents pretty convincing evidence, I think, that the Nazca lines in Peru were actually created by the exhaust from the rockets as the Anunnaki exited the Earth. Mm-hmm. And their mass exodus around between 600 and 550 B.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. This whole, you know, there's just so many things that cannot be explained by social consciousness or the programs that we've accepted today. I think it's time for everybody to do their own research. And I always tell people I don't have all the answers either, but I have... The answers I've come across have made it very clear that the answers I've been given are incorrect. So I always tell people, keep searching. You know, keep doing your own research. Don't just accept anybody's opinion. You know, just keep.
Absolutely.
Keep on. Well, you know, we're out of time. Unfortunately, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And we'll have to have you back on again. I know there's a lot deeper we can go, and your book, The Grandest Deception, is one I think everybody should read and kind of bone up on the true history of Earth.
Well, I thank you for the kind words, and I enjoyed visiting with you very much. And should we get to do it again, I would greatly look forward to that.
All right. Well, have a great day, and I'm sure you probably got all kinds of people waiting to get a hold of you. You know, being a doctor and all, so.
Well, I will open the doors to my clinic again here in a few minutes, but thanks again. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, have a great day, and keep delivering those bright little babies.
Well, I quit doing that. I'm too old to stay up all night.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great day.